Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
Once again, to the Chris Vaccaro Show, with your host, me, and the star of the show, Chris Vaccaro. Hey, Chris.
Nando, what's up, buddy? Week 10 in the books, and we're on our way to week 11. How was your week 10 in fantasy football?
It was half and half, actually.
Okay.
Couple ups, couple downs? Yeah, a couple. I have 10 active leagues, and I probably did well in half of them.
No, that's why
and
it was
didn't
half
do
and
well
half.
In the other half. Yeah.
All right.
How about you? I saw a screenshot, which I think it's public information, right?
I don't know what you're talking about. What are you talking about? What's public information?
Our friend Matt Medica sent to us.
Oh, yeah. All right. It's ironic. So what Nando's talking about, myself and a couple friends, Matt Modica, and another friend of the show, Glenn Lowy. The three of us are currently 1-2-3 in the overall standings in the NFFC overall championship after week 10. So the three of us, it's pretty ironic. We're all pretty close friends, and we just happen to be sitting 1-2-3 after 10 weeks.
I don't know if it's ironic. I think
it's
not ironic. I think it's kind of cool. It's like you three are three of the best fantasy football players in the entire universe, essentially.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. It's tough to get a team up top in the overall standings, and just to have three people that, you know, are all East Coast, New York, New Jersey guys, 1-2-3 after 10 weeks. We all share Kyler Murray as our quarterback. I think that's no surprise there. And the teams are all a little different. It's going to be fun. It's always nice to be in this spot. And, you know, we'll see what the next 6 weeks brings us, but...
Okay, bro. No. Like, you sound like you're running for political office.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah. Chris, well, doesn't NFFC do something a little different, right? Like, the playoffs, they start at the same time as everybody else after week 13, right? But then there's like a... You take the average score. Mm-hmm. I always mess this up.
Yes.
You take the average score that you had through the season, and that's like your base?
Yeah, that's what you start with, is your average score through 13 weeks, and then it's just a three-week sprint of weeks 14 through 16. You have to finish in the top three in your division, in your private league to get into the playoffs. So there's roughly around 140 to 160 teams in that overall playoff chase. But as soon as the playoffs start, I mean, you know, it's anybody's guess. You don't really have that big of an advantage, maybe a 10 or 15 point advantage if you finish high up in the regular season overall. So,
which could be erased by a really good running back, Damian Williams, surprise, right?
It could be erased real quick. So, you know, once the playoffs start, it's a whole new ball game.
And then it's playoffs not in the traditional sense. You just accrue points. You don't play people, right?
No, you don't play anybody. It's, like I said, everybody gets thrown into one bag, and whoever scores the most points for 3 weeks is your overall champion.
I like it. Good luck. Good luck to Glenn Lowy. He's a good dude.
I guess Modica isn't a good dude. Is that you just left him out? I mean, how dare you say that about our friend Matt?
I break bread with him
every year at our annual baseball dinner.
Yeah, bread that you force upon us.
Yes, and mashed potatoes.
That neither of us ordered.
And mashed potatoes.
That's a fun story for another time.
Sure,
for listeners.
Let's talk football. Why are you not? No, you're wasting
my
time.
We are, actually. I think, but you know what?
Talk about football.
I think it's actually very interesting the way NFFC breaks down their playoffs. I think a lot of people could, you know.
It is, and I think a lot of people that listen to our podcast, at least, I mean, a lot of guys in the high-stakes market, you know, will email me, text me throughout the week, hey, when's the show going up? You know, love the show. You and Nando, we enjoy it. So a lot of the high-stakes players are listening to the pod.
That's great. Shout out to the high-stakes players.
Yeah.
But I hope the three of you do well.
Thanks.
No problem. All right, let's talk. You know what? I actually do want to start there. I know I gave you a rundown, and I was just messing around with some of it, but... Is this the time of year, Chris? I guess depending on your record, like if you're 6-4, 7-3, maybe more so than if you're 5-5, 4-6, when you start looking at like who's this year's Damian Williams, do you kind of chase anything like that, or do you just want to make sure you're strong and backed up at this point, or do you want to just keep kind of following the same trend lines you were following all year? You change strategy basically.
I mean, we're still 3 weeks away from getting teams into the playoffs. So, I mean, you do at the same time, you do want to try and set your team up for the playoffs. But it's tough to do that, you know, in terms of handcuffing Nando. Yeah. You know, if a guy is available on your wire, you know, that's the backup to your starter. You know, yeah, it's definitely a move you want to start trying to make and put that guy on your roster as your sixth running back, something like that. But I could definitely see what you're saying. You got one eye on trying to finish the regular season off strong, but the other eye on trying to shore up your playoff roster.
That's tough. It's almost like a weird crossroads right now for a good
team. It is. The way I play it, Nando, is I'm still in regular season mode. I'm not looking at the playoffs. I'm trying to win my leagues, trying to get in the playoffs, whatever, you know, different teams. And maybe in another week, I'll start looking at what I'm going to do playoff-wise. Playoff-wise, listen, you have the core of your team. You know the players that are going to be there for you in the playoffs. What I do when I'm entering the playoffs, and this is different for home leagues compared to like an overall in the high-stakes market, I'm trying to get, you know, a defense off of the wire, you know, as I head into the playoffs that has a couple good matchups so I can mix and match my defenses.
So you'll carry two of them.
I will definitely get. See, now this is a strategy that a lot of people maybe that, you know, aren't in the high stakes market, but aren't, you know, maybe won't understand. But I have to carry I mean, that's fine. But listen, I have to have two kickers and two defenses, especially in a year like this with COVID. And, you know, maybe you run into a situation where the game is canceled or postponed and you only, if you're that team only carrying one kicker or one defense, you can't afford to take a zero. So I have to go into the playoffs with two kickers, two defenses, two tight ends, and two quarterbacks. So that's eight spots right there, which leaves me with a short roster for, you know, to carry six running backs and six receivers at max. So it's going to be a tough year because there is no picking up in the playoffs in the overall standing. So you're playing for 3 weeks. You can't go to the wire to get anything during that course. So you have to set yourself up, and you're going to have to play it smart with your running backs and receivers. Hopefully you have your core of five receivers or running backs that you're playing and bank on them being healthy for those 3 weeks and not getting COVID or anything, because you can't afford to not carry two at those other positions.
How stoked are you if you have Ronald Jones on your team that Bruce Arians is like the anti-coach, kept him in after that fumble? Like, I remember he fumbled, and I was looking on Twitter, and I remember, oh, this is the end of Ronald Jones.
Yep.
That's the end of the road. I told everyone Ronald Jones sucked.
Yep.
And then he went on to get like 4,000 more yards.
Surprising.
Like, doesn't it feel like, it's just like, forget about fantasy for a second, but it's nice to have like Bruce Arians.
Yeah,
be like, I'm not going to play this stupid you fumbled game and I'm taking you out, man. Let's get you back in there. Get your confidence back up.
Yeah, and I was probably one of those people, you know, that you're talking about because, and not that I tweeted it, but I'm just saying when I watched the play live, he fumbles and I'm like, oh, that's it. It's going to be the Fournette show from here on out.
Yeah.
And they came right back to Jones. Jones shined, and it's such a weird backfield here because every week I find myself trying to trade for Leonard Fournette these last couple weeks, and then Fournette does nothing last week, not, you know, 2 weeks ago, I guess it would be that game versus the Saints, along with Ronald Jones when the two of them combined for like four carries. And I'm like, you know what? I got to stop trying to buy this Fournette. It's just not going to happen. And everybody, you know, everybody's sending you the Ronald Jones trade offers because the Ronald Jones owner, you know, doesn't want him. So, you know, all I get is Ronald Jones offers in trading leagues that you shoot down automatically. Maybe you should have been buying him on the cheap these last couple weeks. But would it surprise you if this upcoming week Fournette is the guy that looks like the main back? It's just one of those backfields.
I think it would.
That
I
don't would want either of them.
I think it would. I think this is Ronald Jones's show the rest of the way.
Okay. Yeah, and you may be, and you may be, no, and you may be wrong, and you may be right, but I don't think anybody.
You may be crazy.
Good one. And yeah. I just don't think week to week, I don't think they know who the main guy is. You know, it's probably going to be one of those 60-40 splits, and 1 week Fournette's going to play a little more, 1 week Jones, it's going to be very frustrating, and that's why you don't see a lot of owners of either of these guys starting either of these two running backs. You know how many Ronald Jones 27 fantasy points I saw on teams' benches this week? I mean,
do you look at a lot of team benches?
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, across my leagues, I'm always looking at, you know, everybody's scores and stuff, and then you look down to see, like, oh, what did he do? You know, who was on his bench? And I saw Ronald Jones on most teams' benches this past week.
It makes sense. I mean, it was kind of trending in the Fournette way. Hey, you know what?
How do you play him going after that Saints game? Like I said, with three carries. Right. I mean,
can we move on?
Please do.
I don't know. You sound like you were still going to go. You're going to a little Vaquero rant.
No.
Vaquero rant.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Let's move along. Actually, somewhat related. James White. I picked him up on a Yahoo. Yeah, just a regular Yahoo league that I'm in last week. He hit the wire. I'm like, wow, James, this is a PPR league? James White's on the wire?
Yeah.
I put $7 of my remaining 23 on him. And I was like, the next one was a $0 bid, and then there was no one else. What's going on there, man? Like he was Johnny Reliable.
You took seven. So you basically used like 30% of your remaining budget for James White.
James White.
Just because I mean, and if you look at waiver wires, you're going to start seeing James White name on it because it's just not happening this year. And Damian Harris looks great again. Came out again. He's run so hard, this kid. He's really a really good running back. He's going to be the early down back. And Rex Burkhead is the second guy that comes in on passing downs. And I know we think back to the James White of the past, all these past years. And if you're a little weak at running back, oh, let me go take reliable James White and stick him in my starting lineup. He'll get me those 10 PPR points. But can't rely on that now anymore. Rex Burkhead's passed him.
It's weird. I mean, maybe he just meshes. Maybe it's not weird. Maybe he just meshes Cam Newton a little better. But it seems like James White. Well, I guess Rex Burkhead can run, and maybe that's a little more. If he's in there, you're like, I'm not sure if they're going to run or pass right now. Whereas if James White's in there, you're like, all right, they're going to pass.
That's always been the thing, and you're right. And maybe it's a system thing with, you know, Brady was always there. Brady in the shotgun, you know, he would love to find James White out of the backfield to dump off to him. And Cam Newton just, you know, the chemistry isn't there with the two of them. It's a different type of play calling. And like you said, if Burkhead's out there, you don't know if he's running or passing. But when White's out there, it's like, all right, well, he's not getting the ball out of the backfield unless it's a pass. So maybe they want to keep teams guessing a little more.
But Carol, I got another weird one for you.
I like weird
this
ones.
This one, I mean, yeah, well, I mean, it's
I
not
expect
weird,
them from
it's
you, though, Nando. You know.
Well, let me put it to you this way. About 12 hours ago, I was pretty positive it was going to be Jameis Winston coming in for Drew Brees, and I was pretty positive if Teddy Bridgewater was going to miss anything, it was going to be P.J. Walker.
Yeah.
And then this morning I read something from Joe Person, who's our Panthers writer, who's like, you know, Will Greer should actually start over P.J. Walker so they can see what they got on this losing team.
Mm.
You know, they used a third-round pick on him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not saying he should have every snap, but he should have more snaps if something happens.
Right.
And then I saw someone else questioning, like, you know, the Saints have to make a big decision here, you know, if it's going to be Jameis Winston starting. I'm like, am I the crazy one? Or am I just not, like assuming things that I shouldn't be assuming with these quarterback situations?
Well, I think everybody looks at the Saints situation. I even tweeted out yesterday saying, all right, well, everybody's going to be opening their wallet and blowing their money on Jameis Winston, especially the Josh Allen owner who's on a bye this week that needs a decent replacement. Or just if you're struggling at the quarterback position. And let's face it, none of these quarterbacks in this league are really putting up great numbers. Hey, look at me with the Drew Lock and Derek Carr replacements last week, completely bombing. Not saying that Jameis Winston is going to come in and be an automatic 30-point a game quarterback.
Drew Lock's hurt too.
Drew Lock is hurt now too. Yeah, and as I watched the Denver game the other day, I'm just shocked that he finished that game because in the second quarter when he got banged up, they were, you know, Rippon was putting the helmet on the sideline, and I thought the party was over for Drew Lock. Not that he gave much more after that, but back to Winston. I still think it will be Winston. I think, you know, this is Peyton just throwing up a smoke screen. He doesn't want the opposing team to be able to prepare for one guy. I think Taysom Hill, as solid as Taysom Hill is, I just don't think the Saints want him as that every down quarterback. They want to keep using him as the Swiss Army knife. That could come into play to hurt Jameis Winston. All those people that pick up Jameis Winston this week to start him is, you know, they have the luxury of going to Hill on a lot of plays, and maybe Hill comes in for a whole series. Maybe Hill's, you know, plays a lot more snaps there. But I still think Winston will be the, you know, the quarterback, the starting quarterback, and play the majority of the snaps.
As Funston pointed out, they have the Falcons two of the next 3 weeks,
yeah,
too.
And you're not going to see Drew Brees. I'd be shocked if Brees doesn't go on IR just for 3 weeks. They have the luxury to do this. They did it last year when he was banged up, gave him time off. They're on a hot streak. They're 7-2 now. They know they're going to the playoffs. You know, it's Super Bowl or bust for the Saints. They can get by with Winston and Hill for these next 3 weeks. Like you said, two of them are versus the Falcons. You know, I don't see why you'll see Drew Brees until December. I highly doubt it.
I mean, when Teddy Bridgewater came in last year, Hill didn't take away too much. I mean, like, we're looking at, like, Bridgewater had, like, this awesome performance where people were like, he can start again in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
So I assume they'll do the same thing again, but I guess Sean Payton's, you know, like, if you start assuming things in football, that things are going to repeat, that's when they don't repeat.
Yeah,
because
I mean,
the other team is, yeah.
You have to assume that Winston has been in the system now, you know, long enough. You know, maybe earlier in the season, if this happened in week two, they would have been like, whoa, Winston's not ready to come in and run this offense. But I'm thinking the extra time, we're 10 weeks in now, Winston will be ready. And I think that's the difference between Winston this year and Bridgewater last year, was Bridgewater had a lot of time in the Saints system before when he came in.
Nice. All right, well, I guess we'll see what happens. How about Carolina? Sure. Do you even care about Carolina? You don't care, do you?
No, I mean, listen, if Bridgewater does miss, I expect it to be P.J. Walker. He's been the guy that comes in, you know, when Bridgewater's gotten banged up in certain games and has gone out. So I fully expect it to be P.J. Walker. I think they soured on Will Greer a little bit. And, you know, hey, there's a reason why Walker passed Greer on the depth chart. I don't expect them to be like, oh, Bridgewater went down, let's move Greer ahead of Walker now on the depth chart. It's going to be Walker, and he's sneaky. If they rule out Bridgewater on a Friday, I wouldn't be surprised. I think the sneaky play would be to pick up Walker and not have to deal with the Jameis Winston, Taysom Hill fiasco. You get Walker a lot cheaper. He's athletic, and I think from what I've seen, especially when he was in the XFL, and the little I've seen of him in the NFL, he looks like he passes the eye test. I think he'll be pretty good.
Yeah, our good friend Emery Hunt wrote a very good piece on P.J. Walker during the XFL season, mm-hmm. talking about some players in the XFL who could excel in the NFL. The other one was Donald Parham Jr.
Yeah.
He's catching touchdown passes.
Good old Parham.
I know,
breaking Hunter Henry hearts everywhere.
I had him in here for a couple sections. Talk a lot about Donald Parham Jr., but I guess we got other stuff to get to.
Yeah. Darn it.
Is that all right? Let me ask you this as a follow-up on Jameis Winston.
Yeah.
Is Michael Thomas now, let's say Brees is out, like, is Michael Thomas going to be quote-unquote fixed, or is this not a Drew Brees problem?
I mean, fixed. Listen, he's still going to be the number one target for Winston or anybody. He's Michael Thomas. So, you know, I think it helps. I can't say it doesn't help. You know, not that we've seen. Listen, I know what you're saying with the broken Michael Thomas, but let's remember he's been active just one game now. It's not like we were like, oh, it's 5 weeks in a row of Michael Thomas sucking. You know, he hasn't played. You know, he got one game. Drew Brees has been banged up. The game was weird. And, you know, I expect Michael Thomas to be fine. As long as Michael Thomas is healthy, and it looked the other day like he was, Winston will pepper him this week, and going forward, Michael Thomas will be good. But unfortunately, if you're the Michael Thomas owner, considering you've got nothing out of him for 10 weeks, you're probably not in a good playoff position unless you're loaded around him because your first round draft pick gave you nothing.
But I mean, if you're sitting at 5-5, let's say, and you got Michael Thomas,
mm-hmm.
I mean, maybe this starts a string of,
right,
you know, 120 yard games, right?
Yeah, exactly. And I think if you're the Michael Thomas first round owner, if you're 5-5, you're counting your lucky stars and you're saying, I'm glad I got here. I'm glad I'm 5-5. You know, good, better days ahead because it can't get any worse.
You mentioned Kyler Murray earlier. Actually, hold on. I want to give a quick shout
out
to Pepsi.
What? I never talk about Kyler Murray.
I know.
What are you talking about? By the way, he was the game of the week again for like the seventh week in a row.
Well, that's because their defense sucks.
Hey, we play fantasy here, don't we?
I know.
It's all part of the plan, buddy. It's all part of the plan. You give good matchups back and forth versus bad defenses, and it's showtime.
Everything okay? It sounded like you stumbled over something over there.
I dropped my shoe. Yeah.
I don't want to know. I don't even know.
I'm just, hey.
Thanks.
You asked.
You didn't have to answer. Thanks to a lack of.
Are you not looking forward to Thursday's game, Nando, like I am? I mean, to me, it's like the Super Bowl.
I don't know. Who's playing Thursday?
The
I know, I'm
Wait,
joking.
No, I was just going to say the Jets versus the Jaguars.
It's Jaguars versus Steelers.
It is.
It's number 7 on the rundown.
Upset special.
I think it is. We'll get to that.
Okay.
All right. You good?
I'm fantastic.
Your shoes on?
Yeah.
All right. You mentioned Kyler Murray before.
Yeah.
I know, you know, the high stakes leagues that you also never mention, don't have trading. But I know you advise some of our friends and some people on the outside who have leagues where you can trade.
Yeah.
What's Kyler Murray right now get you in the trade market? And let's just say you've got Justin Herbert as your backup. Someone who you feel okay, or maybe you want to trade Justin Herbert.
Why would you be looking to trade Kyler Murray?
I'm saying if someone offers you Michael Thomas for Kyler Murray, would you do it?
No.
Someone offers you James Robinson for Kyler Murray, would you do it?
No. No.
Really?
No, absolutely. Listen, you have in one. Kyler Murray, you have the 2019 Lamar Jackson who won everybody all their money, all their leagues. You have the piece. You're looking at it wrong with the Kyler Murray, Justin Herbert combo. Justin Herbert is who you trade. You don't trade Kyler Murray. You get a good piece back for Herbert. That's how you work it. You don't trade away Kyler Murray. He's the guy that's gotten you to where you are, probably first to second place, high points in your league. He's the one that's going to carry you to the fantasy championship this year, hopefully, if everything stays, you know, the way it is, if he keeps producing the way he is for the next 5 or 6 weeks. This is why fantasy is fun, Nando. You draft a guy like this in the 6th or 7th round.
Yeah.
And you know, you enjoy football and fantasy football for 16 weeks. You know, this doesn't happen every year where you hit on the player that's carrying your team every week. Every week. So you don't move him. You know, you made a nice move with picking up Herbert to back up Murray probably. Go get yourself a solid wide receiver too. Go get yourself an RB2 for Herbert. Yeah, Devontae Parker, who bombed this past week, but I still have high hopes for the rest of the season. With Miami. Jakeem Grant, though, is a nice little add on the waiver wire. I'm sure a lot of people added him last week, but just in case he's out there again still, I think he'll be a nice compliment to Parker going forward the rest of the season.
All right. I'm trying to find the player that you would say yes. I mean, DeAndre
Kyler Murray? Let me answer it this way. If you want my Kyler Murray, okay? If you're the Kyler Murray owner, let's talk big time running backs. That's it.
All right.
Okay? You have to understand, Kyler Murray is the 2-in-1 player that I talk about here and there. The 2-in-1 player. He's a quarterback. He's also a running back. You're getting two players in one in your lineup every week. The guy's running for 7,500 rushing yards every week. He does it with his feet. This is why you draft the running quarterback. This is what you wanted when you took Lamar Jackson in the early second round this year. But he's a complete bomb waste of a pick. Lamar Jackson's a bust. And he's completely digressed in that, and he took the whole offense down with him this year. But you look five rounds later, and that's who you got as this year's Lamar Jackson is Kyler Murray. And he's starting to separate himself. Himself as the number one fantasy quarterback with the Russell Wilson digression the last couple of weeks. You know, you had two unbelievable quarterbacks there pretty much coming off the board in the same area with Wilson and Murray. But, Wilson's taken a little bit of a step back. But he's going to blow up this Thursday, Russell Wilson, trust me. You know, it's the second game of the year. They've played already. They were the game of the year. Hopefully it lives up to the hype. You know what? Yeah, I'll say that because you could already sense, like, in the fantasy industry, like, the hype building. People were even talking about the game last night on Twitter, like, oh, can't wait for Thursday, Zona and Seattle. A lot of times the games don't live up to the hype, but these two teams have been, you know, pretty consistent every week putting on shows. Seattle's coming off of a bad game, and that Rams defense is, you know, you have to give it credit. But Arizona doesn't have a Jalen Ramsey out there to shut down DK Metcalf. I expect Wilson and Metcalf to have an explosion type game. The guy I'm concerned about is Tyler Lockett, and the last time we saw him put up the huge numbers, it was versus this Arizona team, if you remember, the 15 catch, 200 yard, three touchdown explosion. So maybe Arizona is exactly what he needs to get back on track, coming off of, you know, about three games in a row now where it's been a little slow. Maybe Seattle's getting a little too predictable because their running game is non-existent with Carson out. I don't think Carson makes it back for this Thursday, but supposedly Carlos Hyde will. Maybe that'll help them, but I expect Wilson to get back on track with this offense. Tyler Lockett, supposedly, Pete Carroll said yesterday, is dealing with a little bit of a knee sprain. So I don't know on a short week what that's going to look like, but I guess time will tell.
Yeah, we've thrown away that short week argument, it seems like, this season.
Yeah. How would you rank if right now, rest of the season, who would you want? Michael Thomas, Davante Adams, DeAndre Hopkins, and DK Metcalf. Those four top receivers. Who would you want in order?
I would want to go Adams, Hopkins, Thomas, Metcalf.
Adams, okay.
Is that what you have?
The first two I have in that order, I want Adams, Hopkins. And I think I would just switch the last two. I think you said Thomas 3, Metcalf 4?
Yeah, but I believe in. I think Thomas with a new quarterback is going to be great and be vintage Thomas.
Yeah, you know what? I can't argue that. I think I would them in that order.
Looks like you're easily swayed.
Yeah, for that one I was. Just because I remember. No, honestly, because Metcalf does have a couple tough matchups still to go. I believe he still gets Ramsey again. So
Metcalf just worries me. And I know they do it. They did it last year with Lockett, and they're doing it this year with Metcalf. Like, low target numbers, high yardage, and a bunch of touchdowns. It just feels like something that could go away at any moment.
I don't think DK Metcalf is going anywhere. He's an alpha wide receiver one beast. And if you have Metcalf and you somehow escaped with a win this past week off of his lowest production, you have to be giddy to have him back in your lineup off of a slow game. See, I'm one of those guys, Nando. I don't know how a lot of people – I think most people look at it the way I do. I don't know how you do. If your stud player is coming off of a bad game, Like, you're excited, like, oh, he's not going to have two in a row. And then if he somehow does have two in a row, it's like, oh, this is the week, third week in a row. It's not like, oh, he's going to keep sucking. It's like you expect the big bounce back after the slow game. You know, the quarterback tends to look.
It was a Ramsey game. I mean, like, yeah. he got Ramsey.
No, 100%. But don't you think Russell Wilson is like, all right, you know, I didn't get Metcalf going last week. I got to get him going again, this upcoming week. So
no, I think Russell Wilson's like, we got to win, however that's possible.
Yeah. I mean, you obviously seem to have conversations with Russell Wilson, so you know what he's thinking.
I do.
So there you go.
I do. Yeah. We talk about his baseball cards. It's fun. All I'm saying is DK Metcalf doesn't have a lot of targets, and he has a lot. I mean, if you look at yards per target, I'm sure he's one of the league leaders. I'm assuming he's one of the league leaders.
Okay. I don't have that info in front of me. I just know he's a top five wide receiver, and he's a stud that you could rely on almost every week.
You know, just talk for 30 seconds about someone while I look it up on radio.
No, don't do that to me. Stop it, please.
No, I like when you talk for 30 seconds.
All right, let's talk about the Arizona offense and the fact that you got one.
This show's all about Arizona.
No, it's not. You just told me to talk for 30 seconds. So we're talking about the Thursday night game, and all I'm saying is Kenyon Drake looked good in his comeback after missing all of one game.
I got to interrupt you for breaking news.
Let's hear it. Who's got COVID?
No, Sport Radar has a Thanksgiving filter on their stats sheet now, so I can look up stats for all the Thanksgiving games.
So that's breaking news.
Yeah, for me it is. All right, go on. God. Go ahead. High stakes guys love that, man.
No, anyway, listen. In terms of the Arizona offense, and we'll move on from after this game, but you know, we talked last week and in previous weeks about how getting Nick Chubb and Miles Sanders back on fantasy teams could take you to another level. I'm going to have to throw in Kenyon Drake here. When you mix in what this offense can do on a weekly basis and how bad the running back landscape is, I have to add in Kenyon Drake with that mix. So I think he is a low-end RB1. Going forward, and it's a good matchup this Thursday, so he goes right back into your starting lineups.
I'm looking this up right now. The problem is this filters receiving yards through target. There's no
I don't think the people care too much about DK.
I think
Metcalf's
they do actually, because it's
average depth it's being statsy. You're being
no, that's a dangerous stat. Okay. If you don't, I mean, I look, I'm not statsy. I'm not one of the statsy guys.
I think you are.
But if you're getting a lot of receiving yards per target,
His war is 7.7, and that's why you should draft him. Like, you know.
Is that what I sound like to you?
No. No.
Hold on. Let's see. Let's try receiving targets is greater than, let's say, 35. Is that a good filter for you?
Sure.
Create and apply filter. All right, here we go. Justin Jefferson's actually number one. Justin Jefferson's got 14.11 receiving yards per target. Julio Jones has 11.39. DK Metcalf has 11.33. How about that?
Fantastic. Can we move on
now?
Great. No. Doesn't do anything
for
me. He's a stud. That's it. All
right.
End of story. It's all people fantasy. You think fantasy, like, DK Metcalf, should I play him this week? He's got 11.1 yards per target. Like,
I'm not talking about this week. Obviously, you're starting. I'm talking about his trade value is probably higher than what it could be for
again.
Like,
you're in week 11. You're not trading DK Metcalf. I'm sorry.
I'm just saying, if you get Boyle, what if you get James Robinson?
Does you have any trade offer things not involving James Robinson by any chance? Or
he's just that perfect. I mean, the dude is he has so much volume and he's doing well. All right, here's a question for you. Patriots are 4-5. It seems like every week you play the Patriots, they take away your best weapon. Does that worry you now when you see the Patriots coming and you have your alpha wide receiver? Is that something you're looking at right now? Because, I mean,
you know, it's
like,
funny.
Killed Darren Waller. They're killing everybody. They're number one.
Well, that's just because Belichick is a genius. So, he takes away your top target.
He's a genius. Let's take away their top target.
No, I'm just saying. But yeah, okay. But my point is this. You know, you see that every week. Why isn't every team taking away the top target? Right. Any coaches coming in and do you see them wiping out Davante Adams when teams play the Packers? No, he shines every week. Just happens to be that most times when you play the Patriots, that big stud like Darren Waller or George Kittle, like, you know, he finds a way to take you out. He's been doing it for my lifetime, for the last 20 years. It's happened way more times than it hasn't. So that's my point. there. And what's surprising is Stephon Gilmore is out, and they're doing it. So I don't know what the deal is with Gilmore right now. I know he's got a knee issue. I don't know how.
Didn't he have COVID?
What?
He was COVID, wasn't he?
He was, like, but like that's like over a month ago. Like then he came back. He hurt his knee in practice in midweek. Didn't play since then. So I don't know how serious it is. I don't know if this is just like, I know he was a trade candidate at the deadline. Supposedly he wasn't happy and he wanted out. So it could be a behind the scenes thing where Belichick is like, you know what? We don't need you. We'll you don't want to play for us? Just keep sitting. We'll make up a fake knee injury for you. But they, listen, they're continuing to do it without that. But let's not, listen, let's not act like this defense is anything special. The Jets just killed them on Monday night, remember? You know, so, and they got aided with the bad weather game on Sunday night. So,
yeah. All right. I just, hey, just want to make sure. I mean, like, you know, Lamar Jackson didn't have a great, I mean, I don't know who your number one that you take away on Baltimore is besides Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, that's the thing. They don't have one. Like, so, right. You know.
Hey, I think Jake suggested that Marquise Brown is a drop this week, possibly.
Marquise Brown is my absolute biggest bust of a pick that I was in on this year. It's just not happening. It's crazy. Every week I find myself still putting him in my lineup and eating his terrible game. And I don't even want to blame it on him. I want to blame it on Lamar Jackson. He sucks.
Do you? So here's my other theory, that his knee is hurting him way more than people are letting on. This is Lamar Jackson knee injury. I know everyone wants to blame Greg Roman, but I think his knee is hurting.
Okay, maybe. And, you know, I forget who it was yesterday, was talking about how, you know, from sitting there in the seats, you know, at the game, Lamar Jackson on multiple times had wide open lanes to take off and run, and he didn't. And maybe that's the difference this year. But yet, that, you know, I say that, but when I watch him, it's crazy because he still takes off and runs and looks good running. So it's like, you know, at least tell me that you're not running at all. But this guy takes off and runs for first downs. He's looking to run. As soon as he drops back and nothing's there, well, at least in his mind, nothing's there, he's taking off and running. You know, it's, I don't know. It's just weird. He just can't read. To me, I don't think he could read defenses. He's not accurate. And it's funny because last year, I've said this before, I was so anti-Lamar Jackson and ate crow from readers and anybody because he was the MVP. I couldn't have been more wrong on something than fading Lamar Jackson in draft season. And he went on and became the Kyler Murray of last year and MVP.
Well, you're overcompensating now with Kyler Murray this year.
Well, whatever. I mean, but, you know, this is the Lamar Jackson I thought we would always see. Just an athlete playing quarterback. Like, just can run. Like, he sucks. I'm sorry. He's not good.
That's not nice.
That's the truth.
No, he's hurt. He's playing hurt.
Then sit out. I don't know what you want me to tell you, you know?
All right, let's get RG3 some playing time, right?
Oh, God. Hey, at this point, if you tell me anything to get Marquise Brown and Mark Andrews going, because the two of them, the owners of those two guys, are just dying every week.
You don't believe this is Greg Roman? This is a Greg Roman?
I think it's a mixture. I think it's a mixture of a lot of things. I think it's a mixture of, you know, teams having more tape and a full season of Lamar Jackson to play him. You know, and maybe the offense is stale. The whole Lamar Jackson throwing the defenses at the line are, you know, calling out our plays and they know what we're running. Well, then switch it up. Yeah. That's our Roman, you know? And somebody said this, it's a good point. When he was with Kaepernick in the second season got exposed too. So maybe it's a one-year gimmick offense that, you know, it takes time to figure out. And then once coaches that are obviously very smart in the NFL figure out after a whole season of tape, maybe they start doing things a little differently and messing them up.
Yeah. I mean, look, at the Bill. I remember Greg Roman. I identify him with the Bills. And that was just a pretty boring offense.
Mm-hmm.
But, they didn't have the playmakers, but still. They didn't have Stephon Diggs.
Yeah.
Hey, Chris, Cowboys are coming off the bye this week. Is there any hope at all? Like, maybe Ezekiel Elliott has figured things out, or they made some tweaks that you know, are awesome.
No, you're going to get Andy Dalton back, so I think the offense will run a little smoother. They've been, you know, the kid Gilbert wasn't terrible versus Pittsburgh.
No, he was. He's pretty good.
Yeah, he actually was a lot better than DiNucci. But I still, you know, Dalton's the guy you want there. If you're an owner of the Cooper and Lamb and Gallup. Listen, Zeke, can he figure it out? There's nothing to figure out. It's, you know, the team isn't as good offensively as it was in week one. His offensive line is depleted and the team is depleted. So, you know, it's a different story. You're probably going to be playing from behind a lot of games with that defense than ahead. That probably chops off 7 to 10 of his carries a week. And Zeke's going to be, you know, a high-end RB2, low-end RB1, you know, the rest of the year just based on volume.
All right. I guess I like that.
Mm, okay.
I've been a staunch supporter of Ezekiel Elliott. Like, I wish it was a little more like, yeah, this bye is going to fix everything. They figured it out. They're going to play like a gelled team. Michael Gallup is going to be back to get 9 to 10 targets a game. Mm. I feel like there might be like this split with Kellen Moore being the holdover from the Jason Garrett era, and Mike McCarthy coming in, and McCarthy being kind of a, you know, an offensive coach himself. And maybe there's just like a bad mesh of philosophies there or something.
I think it's listen, they come off the bye. They had a couple of weeks to heal up and, you know, maybe come up with a good plan. And they're getting a good team that you want. I would start Cowboys this week confidently versus this Viking secondary. You know, it's just a matter of. It's one of those offenses, Nando. It's kind of like and I don't mean this in a way of like to compare them like Tampa. But, you know, they have Brown and you know, Godwin and Evans. You don't know which one's going to be the lead guy and have the big numbers and which one's going to take a step back. And I think that's what you're going to be looking at with Hill, Lamb, Cooper, and Gallup each week going forward. You don't know who's going to be the main guy and who's going to be the 2 for 12. So,
what if someone offered you Antonio Brown for your Justin Herbert right now?
And I'm the Kyler Murray owner?
Yeah.
Take Antonio Brown, sure.
Is it things are looking up for him? I mean, I know he missed.
Yeah.
Tom Brady missed him.
I don't know what people expected when they got Antonio Brown off the waivers. Well, everybody was giddy, and understandably, you know, it's Antonio Brown. And he showed this week at, you know, it was like 7 for 80. I don't know what people thought. Did people think they were getting a wide receiver one? Like, you know, an 8 for 120 and a touchdown every week, Antonio Brown off of waivers for nothing. Like, you know,
no, I think they thought that maybe that once in a while, you know, with a
sure.
bunch of those 7 for 80,
and you will,
you know,
and you will have the 7 for 90 in a touchdown game. And that's a huge score off the waiver wire midway through the season. So they were rightfully, you know, they were right to be excited. I just don't think it'll be a constant every week wide receiver one production. You know, and you saw it this week after bombing out versus the Saints. I think we got what we expected, and that was Brady spread it around. All three of them had good games. I think Godwin was off the top of my head 6 for 92. That's 15 in a PPR. Evans scored. He had a 15 to 20 point fantasy game. Same thing with Brown. So, I mean, if that's the case, and that's going to happen every week, where it's spread amongst the three of them evenly. You're looking at, you know, wide receiver two-ish numbers from all three of them. It's not where you drafted Evans and Godwin, right? You drafted Evans and Godwin in the second round to be wide receiver ones and give you the 25 fantasy point games, the Julio games, the, you know, the Devontae Adams type games. And everybody's just going to have to take a step back from that now.
I think, like, at this point last year, could you have imagined being like, all right, the Bucs. They'll have Tom Brady, Rob Gronkowski, and Antonio Brown
at
this time next year.
It's crazy. It's crazy. Yeah. It's you know, they're a ratings, you know, they're a ratings dream, Tampa Bay. They'll be the team that gets flexed into the Sunday night games down the stretch all the time and put in prime time because it's Brady. It's like, you know, it's the biggest show in town. It's the Lakers of, you know, football. It's all the big names, all the celebrities. It's, you know, that's the thing. That's what you're dealing with. And then you mix in Antonio Brown, and it's like, whoa. What I'm surprised about with Tampa isn't offensively, it's defensively. I thought the defense was actually going to be a top three fantasy defense, and they're getting exposed lately. Even versus Carolina, as a big Tampa Bay defensive teams owner on a lot of my teams, defensively they're struggling. You know, Carolina went up and down the field on them. So they got to get it right on defense if they want to be a Super Bowl contender. Real quick, you know who I'm excited about, Nando? Just off the, I know we're going.
Hurry up, we got to go. Hurry up, we got to go.
Oh, do we? Come on,
hurry.
Ready?
No. Well, I mean, yeah, almost it's the top of the hour.
Oh, wow.
Bottom of the hour.
All right. Anyway.
Top of the hour.
Michael Pittman should be, you know, I'm sure he's owned in a lot of leagues now, but if he isn't, he should be the guy that you're blowing a lot of your fantasy money on. With 3 weeks left in the season, you should be spending mostly all of your fantasy money, especially if you're a little wide receiver needy heavy. I think he takes over the wide receiver one role. He looks so good, you know, on Thursday night. He looks like a future wide receiver one in the NFL that will be taken high in fantasy drafts for years to come. But he's definitely the top waiver aired in my book this week.
Listen to him, people. He's top three for the overall, which you've already won, right? Like, you already won it once. You're in the Hall of Fame.
It's
grand prize winner, Chris Vaccaro.
I want to win it a second time.
I know. I noticed it was GST4. How are the other ones doing?
So not bad. I have four of them. I have four teams in the overall. And it's, I think my other good one is ranked around 100th overall, but getting better.
Still a shot. There's still a shot there.
No, it's a team that's really good. I have one team that's just complete garbage. It's like a 2-8 team, and it started off funny. I drafted second overall, and it was Barkley. Came back around, took Beckham. Kenny Galladay in the third, Dak Prescott in the fifth, and my third round draft pick or fourth round draft pick was AJ Brown, who missed a pretty good amount of time. So there was a time at one point where my first six round draft, my first six picks in that particular draft were out. So
that's ridiculous.
It was really crazy.
Hey Chris, before we go, I just want to ask one quick strategy question that I feel like I'd be doing a disservice if I didn't.
Yes.
When you have two teams, say you got that team that's like number one, two, or three, and the team that's in the top 100, and they're both going to make the playoffs, do you build them differently for the playoffs so you have two shots, or do you try and build them the same so you can like, oh, let me just finish 1-4, man. I can do this.
No, so ironically, that the two teams have the same wide receiver set. I have Terry McLaurin, I have Tyler Boyd, and I have Deontay Johnson. The only difference is the team that's third overall also has Calvin Ridley. So, they're very similar. The difference is, and I love this going down the stretch here, is my team that's third overall has Kyler Murray. The team that's on the rise, that's actually second place in my own, in the other division, is a Pat Mahomes team. And one has Derrick Henry. The Mahomes team has Derrick Henry. The Murray team has Dalvin Cook. So I have in place...
You're good, pretty good shape.
Yeah, so I have in place what I want. And my RB2 on the Murray team is Nick Chubb. So you need the big-time combo. So I have the Cook and Chubb combo. And the Henry team, I have the Henry and now Kenyon Drake. So Mahomes, Henry, Drake, Murray, Cook, Chubb. They're both set up differently, but it's what you need. You need the big-time quarterback, and you need the big-time RB1. With a solid RB2 and a good wide receiver core. Both teams, ironically, both have Hockenson and Fant as the tight ends.
Wow.
So, a lot of similarities to both, but up
top.
And
how about your kickers?
Say it again?
How about your kickers? All right, we got to go. This has been the Chris Vaccaro Show. I want to thank you all for listening. If you've listened this far and you feel like hitting up just a little the ratings thing on iTunes, I'm sure Chris would appreciate it.
I would.
If you want to drop a nice, five-star rating on Chris Vaccaro, it'd make him happy.
Love those too.
More than you'll ever know. Yeah. Even you just want to throw in Chris Vaccaro.
You should do it. The people wings. Listening should do it as a thank you for me answering their hundreds of fantasy questions every week.
Everybody's a subscriber.
Oh,
you can be. theathletic.com/fantasyfootballpods. Or, I think. I didn't drop that one in this week.
Good job, Nando.
Just go to Vaccaro's, Google Vaccaro. You can find his column. Click through that. He'll love you forever. We got to go. Coming out the rest of the week, a lot more shows for the Athletic Fantasy Football Podcast. Wrapping it up on Friday with Beller and Vic Tafer with a little gambling twist. Half fantasy, half gambling. It's a good show. Thank you for listening. We hope you appreciate everything that we've been able to deliver to you. Good luck in week 11, everybody. We'll see you later. Bye.